I get to share the devotional with you for a few moments today. And if I was to mention the name John Wilkes Booth, most of you would say, how in the world does that have him, this person that shot President Lincoln, how does he have anything to do with the Christmas story? Well, when Pastor Killian shared with me, you know what, Pastor, the theme is going to be this year, Christmas, where is Christmas? I began to think about that idea, where is Christmas? And I'm going to try and answer two questions in about the next 12 to 14 minutes. And it's just this, we're going to answer the question, where was Christmas? And where is Christmas? Say, where is Christmas? John Wilkes Booth. How in the world? Well, the year was 1865, and that war that tore our nation asunder was starting to wind down. Richmond had fallen, Lee had surrendered, and the war was almost at a close. President Lincoln and his wife, you know, they went to the Ford's Theater. And John Wilkes Booth determined he was going to take things into his own hands. He shot President Lincoln while they were in the presidential booth there watching the play. Does anybody remember what it was? Our American Cousin. He jumps down to the stage, and a few hours later, after he shot President Lincoln, President Lincoln dies. There was a minister in Philadelphia that was distraught by what took place. He went to see and observe President Lincoln when he was laid in state at Independence Hall in Philadelphia. And it really grieved his heart. He even wrote a message for Trinity Church in Philadelphia, the church that he pastored. He wrote a message, the legacy of Abraham Lincoln. He grieved over President Lincoln's passing, and his church determined, you know what? We'll help our pastor because he was mourning for such a long time. They sent him that next Christmas to the Holy Land. The tour that he was on in the late 1860s or mid-1860s, it included a horseback ride from Jerusalem, the 6 miles to Bethlehem. And that trip changed Phillips Brooks' life. He would observe there the pasture lands overlooking Bethlehem, where the angels spoke to the shepherds that you're going to have a Christ born. Go observe. Phillips Brooks, when he was planning a children's Christmas program, 3 years later, his mind went back to that trip to the Holy Land, and he penned these words. Listen to them again. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. And it wasn't just the idea, you know what, this little town outside of Jerusalem. Really, those last two lines summarize it all, don't they? The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Why Bethlehem? Why in a manger, in a stable in Bethlehem? Hundreds of years earlier, the prophet Micah, 500 plus years before Christ was ever born, Micah penned these words, and he said this statement. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be the ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Bethlehem. And now we all can't figure out all the reasons of God why he chooses to do something, right? But I think there's a few reasons that we can pick just from this story that I believe are reasons why the Lord picked Bethlehem. First off, I think he picked Bethlehem because of its history. Say history. I think he picked Bethlehem because of its history. It says there, Bethlehem Ephrathah. Ephrathah was Bethlehem's original name. And Ephrathah means fruitful for you and I. But Bethlehem, you know what it means? It means Bet, say Bet, Lechem. You know, you just learned some Hebrew today. Bet means house. Lechem in the Hebrew means bread. Bethlehem was the house of bread. Ruth tells us, or the story of Ruth tells us in the Old Testament, there was barley fields all around Bethlehem. Thus, the idea of Bet Lechem, the house of barley or house of bread. How fitting for history, wouldn't you say, friend, that the Lord, who called himself the bread of life, would be born in the house of bread. The thing is, history. But I don't think it's just history. I think it's royalty. Did you hear what was stated there by the angels speaking to the shepherds when you read that Christmas story? It says, born unto you in the city of David. Bethlehem was a royal city. We know David was raised around Bethlehem. And it had a royal adherence to it. And that's what the shepherds proclaimed in the city of David. It was spoken to David years before. This is what was said. He was told that you someday, David, you're going to have a son, offspring, who is going to rule over the house of Jacob forever. That was Jesus. But it was all proclaimed from the stable, from the manger in Bethlehem. I think a third reason is not only because it was a royal city and because of its history, house of bread, but I think that the Lord picked Bethlehem really because of its size. Did you see, hear the note that Micah said? Oh, you Bethlehem Ephrathah are so little a town that even the ancients don't remember you. What did that mean? Do you remember when Joshua led the children of Israel, the Hebrews, in to conquer the land? And all the cities were plotted out that they were going to conquer. It was Jericho. It was Gilgal. It was all those major cities. But do you know something? Bethlehem isn't even mentioned. It's not even stated. Why? Because it was so little. And yet, God delights to use little things to display his power and his glory. I stand amazed at that. That, you know what, it seems like the guys in Bible school and in the seminary work, the men and women that really didn't have any background or didn't have any great upbringing in the things of God, those are the people that God delights to use the most because there was no inclination in their lives. God delights to use small things or things that you wouldn't even presume would be used for his glory. Takes this little town of Bethlehem, of its size. You know what? Nothing good ever had really arisen out of Bethlehem. I mean, people knew about Jerusalem. The arts were there in Jericho. Hebron, they knew. But Bethlehem, nobody knows anything really about Bethlehem. But God loves to use those things that are minute so that he gets all the glory. Then I think, really, in my idea, I think there's a fourth reason. And it's not only the size and the royalty and the house of bread, but I would submit to you, Brighton Assembly, and those watching online, that the Lord desired to use Bethlehem because of its location. It was out in the pasture lands, around barley fields, but there were shepherds everywhere watching their sheep. And the Lord sent that message through the angels to the people of Bethlehem because there were shepherds all around. Shepherds were the lowliest of the low in that culture. I mean, they didn't get to vote. They didn't get to go into the temple. I mean, the running joke was that you could smell a shepherd 500 yards downwind if you got caught in the wrong direction. But shepherds are the ones that heard the first message. I delight in that. I rejoice in that. The fact of the matter is these lowly ones are the ones to receive because God loves common people. God sent the message. Aren't you thankful for you and I today? So we see where it was. But can I ask you, how about where it is? How about for you and I, where is the gift of Christmas today? It was in Bethlehem. It was in the stable. It was in the trough, the manger. But how about for you and I today? Geography then, I would submit to you biology today. The gift of Christmas is in you and I. Do you remember when Joseph was getting ready to put Mary away? She's pregnant, and you know what? He knows he's not the dad. And the angel comes to Joseph and says these words, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin." You're all with me. Say amen. Amen. Do you know what it says right after that? It tells us where Christmas is today. The word says this, summarizing Joseph's visit from the angel. "And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet." Let me ask, what prophet? Isaiah, 700 years earlier. 700 years earlier, Isaiah had said these words. Chapter 7, verse 14. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." I'm delighted to tell you, it's not in a location as far as geography like it was 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. As great as it was, small around the common people, the house of bread in the city of David. But I'm here to tell you that Christmas comes to you and I because he is Emmanuel, God with us. And he's not only with us, hear this now, because this is important. He's here with us by being in us. As we surrender to him, he makes a home in our hearts and our lives. And Paul writes to the Colossian church that this is the greatest mystery, say mystery, say history. It's the greatest mystery in all of history. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Listen to what he writes. Colossians 1, 27. "God's plan is to make known his secret to the people. This rich and glorious secret which he has for all peoples. And the secret is that Christ is in you, which means that you will share in the glory of God." Did you hear that? That Christ comes today, not in a manger, not in a stable, not in the Bethlehem, the house of bread, but Christ comes to dwell in your heart and in your life. That is awesome. This Christmas season, he comes to take up residence in each and every one of us. One of my favorite stories I close with today. And we'll sing "O Little Town of Bethlehem," and then we'll light our candles to Silent Night in just a moment. But I love the story about an evangelist by the name of Jess Moody. Jess Moody tells a story a number of years ago where he had met with a home cell group, a home Bible study, with some very affluent people. And at the end of the Bible study, Jess Moody challenged the people, "Would you commit to the Lord with your whole heart? Invite him to take up residence in your heart. Because time is short. We don't know how long we have." After his devotional and Bible study that day, a prominent woman in the United States came up to him and said, "I would like to introduce myself." She came up and she said, "My name is Rose Kennedy." Joseph Kennedy was her husband. Rose was the father of John and Robert Kennedy and Ted. She said, "You know what? I've always been religious, but A while back, I did exactly what you challenged us to do today. I was an embittered person that had put prominence on money and notoriety. My husband and I, we were living a good life. And then our daughter was born. And she was a beautiful baby. The child's name was Rosemary. But after a short time, Rose and Joe Kennedy realized that there was something mentally that was askew with their child. Cognitively, it just wasn't that all the synapses were not connecting. The child was eventually institutionalized. And Rose Kennedy got so embittered and angry about it. She almost couldn't exist. It all kind of came to a head around Christmas a number of years ago. They were getting ready to go to a social function. And then finally, Rose Kennedy said to her husband, "You know what? I can't go. I am afraid of how I might respond if somebody asks me how Rosemary's doing or where she's at. I'm not going to go." So they decided to stay home. Their maid was an African-American woman that had been hired by them in the family for a number of years. And she saw what was happening in Rose Kennedy's life, the corrosive bitterness that was taking hold. And finally, the maid, on that night they stayed home, came to Mrs. Kennedy and said, "Mrs. Kennedy, you've got to take care of this. I challenge you, it will destroy you if you don't make it right with God." She had been asking, Rose had, "You know what, God, how could you do this?" And she was mad. Finally, this maid said, "What you need to do, Mrs. Kennedy, is you need to call on God and ask him to make your heart a manger where he can dwell." It made Rose Kennedy so mad, she fired the woman on the spot. The woman left. And Rose Kennedy went to bed that night and tossed and turned. And all she could hear in her mind's eye was what that maid had said. "You need to make your heart a manger where Christ can dwell." Finally, after tossing and turning for hours, she got down next to her bed and she cried out to God. And she said, "Lord, God Almighty, would you make my heart a manger where you can dwell?" And Rose Kennedy said she had been Catholic, staunch Catholic, her entire life. But there was something new that took place in her heart that night. She said, "I felt such a warmth and forgiveness, and I called on God, and I was a different person that night." Can I tell you today? That's what it's all about. I thank the Lord for Bethlehem. I thank the Lord for a stable. I thank the Lord for a manger. But I thank the Lord that he comes to take up residence in our hearts and our lives. The last verse, or the third verse of Phillips Brooks' song, we'll sing it with the first verse in a moment, but it says this, think of it. "O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide in us, our Lord Emmanuel." Aren't you thankful for Emmanuel today? Would you stand with us right now, friends, across the sanctuary? In a few moments, we're going to sing that song, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." Just during that part, and those of you watching online, enter in with us, would you please? Then when that concludes, and we make that our prayer, "Oh, Emmanuel, come to be within us." Ron and I are going to begin to light the candles of leadership in the church. And they're going to walk up the aisles and light a candle next to yours with you. And then would you just pass it on to the next? And let's close this service singing "Silent Night, Holy Night." And then Rhonda will invite her to close this service in a word of prayer, blessing you at this Christmas season. Can I just challenge you, if you're here present or you're watching online, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, it's as easy as what Rose Kennedy did. just inviting him to make a manger of your heart. Ask him, come in and take up residence in my heart, in my life. Would you, Lord? And he'll do it.